We are so happy to be joined in the studio this evening by Grammy Award-winning songwriter and all-around great guy, Jerry Vandiver.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm ecstatic to be here.
We're
I'm doing
so
great.
Happy that you're here.
Yeah, me
now,
too.
You've been up on the shore since Fish Pick last weekend,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, we played the picnic last Saturday, and I decided to stay around. I love it here so much. I went hiking up at Magny, down at Cascade, did a little kayaking with Brian Hansel on the lake.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, got a little blister on my thumb from it, but that's my problem, not anybody else's.
No, it happens.
And yeah, and just been having a great time around your lovely area.
That is terrific.
Yeah.
Now, Dick and I were wondering, and we didn't know the answer to this, how did you get started coming up here?
Many years ago, way, way long before I want to admit how long ago, I was going through a bad attitude in Nashville, and I have a friend of mine down there, the hiking friend, that said, I'm going to straighten out your attitude. I'm going to take you up to North Country. We're going to go canoeing.
Oh.
And I said, I'm in. And that was, when I say many years ago, that was 1994, to be exact, and I've been coming up here every summer since.
Oh,
I got hooked.
That's terrific.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. And you even have a CD of paddling songs.
I do. And you have it here in your catalog. In fact,
yes,
I was nosing around in your catalog, and I noticed you have aired a song interview a couple of times.
Yes.
I'm happy to see that.
Good.
Yeah, I made a CD about all about canoeing and camping and the outdoors, and I had a lot of fun with it and making – it's not just – some little folky, oh, I'm paddling and I'm so happy thing. We produce some really fun songs, everything from about camp coffee to...
I love that one. You
oh, thank
played
you.
That last year,
yeah,
I remember.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. And a few other maybe PG-13 things about some activity in the tent. And,
oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Really?
Dick hasn't heard that one, obviously.
That. No.
Dick's ears perked up there.
He did.
You could see that right through the earphones.
Through the big earmuffs, yep. Well, could we ask you to play and sing right away? And then
I would
talk
love to.
Some more?
I would
that
love
would
to.
Be great. And tell us what you're going to play.
Well, I'm going to play something. This is a brand new song. And this is a song, because we were just talking about how much I love it up here. This is a song that I haven't recorded yet. I think I hope to someday, soon. And I was actually coming through here last November. I was up in Thunder Bay with Cheyenne Havorka, who was here with us last year.
Mm-hmm.
She was playing with the Thunder Bay Symphony Orchestra then. Oh, it was really cool. And I got to go up there and play.
Wonderful.
As well. Yeah. And I was back on the beach here, throwing some stones in the harbor, and this song came to me. And but only the chorus came to me, and I said, I really want to finish this song before I play Fisherman's Picnic. And so about a month ago, it finally, the rest of it came out. So this is called In Grand Marais.
All right.
Has there been any other songs about Grand Marais that we know of that I can
using the name Grand Marais? No.
Good.
Well, somebody will probably call and correct us.
Yeah, probably.
Sure they will.
Well, this is the radio debut of this one, so
well,
this is called In Grand Marais.
Wonderful.
It was far north of ordinary, near Artist Point, where she stole my heart. And it's a memory that I still carry, the touch of her hand, the brush of her hair, the smile on her face. Only happened there, where we laughed, where we cried, where we kissed, where we tried to resist the sun setting on that day. And even though I know that we both have let go, I can still taste her lips there by the bay. Part of my heart is still in Grand Marais. Now when I watch the waves dance on the water, catch a breeze coming off that lake, skip a stone out over the harbor, I feel the touch of her hand, the brush of her hair, the smile on her face. And I'm back there where we laughed, where we cried, where we kissed, where we tried to resist the sun setting on that day. And even though I know that we both have let go, I can still taste her kiss there by the bay. A part of my heart is still in Grand Marais, where we laughed, where we cried, where we kissed, where we tried to resist the sun setting on that day. And even though I know that we both have let go, I can still taste her lips there by the bay. A part of my heart, it's the deepest part. Part of my heart is still in Grand Marais.
Wow, that's great.
That is beautiful, Jerry. Jerry Vandeveer here on the Roadhouse.
You heard it here first, folks.
That is lovely. I think that's, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's going to be a hit.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
Can you get a job at a record company really quickly as an executive?
No, but you know what? I bet our events and visitors bureau would love that song.
Especially the North of Ordinary that comes out of their
Right slogan. At the top. Well, I have to admit, I saw that on the internet and said, boy, there's an opening line for a song. So, yeah.
Wonderful.
Thank you. I'm so glad
it kind of got close to PG-13 for a while there, too.
I know.
It was passionate. Yeah.
And it's kind of bittersweet because it's not happening anymore.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm still here.
I know. That's good. That is lovely.
Thank you.
So when you talk about, you know, you're out on Artist Point and this song came to you.
Right.
So, but it comes to you in pieces, like part of it came to you and then it sort of languished in your head for a while. Tell us about how that works.
Well, that actually was kind of unusual. I'm not kind of unusual. I mean, that does happen on occasion. But I'm able to kind of work on a song on a weekly basis, and eventually it does come out. But this one has been around for about a year, and I don't know why. I mean, the chorus came out right away. I mean, I just immediately wrote it down. It was right there. I remember having it in my truck and just writing it out and keeping it. And I sang it to myself. But I really wasn't sure exactly where the song wanted to go as far as the story goes, even though I had the part about letting go in the chorus. So then it occurred to me, well, obviously they met here and something happened, but he still has those fond memories of everything that happened around the city and or the village, however you want to look at it. And so I had just been, it's one of those things I think that happens a lot to songwriters. If you let the idea kind of simmer in the brain for a while, that subconscious creative side of you wants to let it come out, and sometimes it just comes out when it's ready. And it was great because I was so pleased when I sat down. I said, I really want to make this happen. And I just kind of said, okay, let it come out. And it did, you know. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's very ugly what comes out. But
why
this one
I
came out.
That?
Yeah, so I was real happy how it ended.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's got to be nice to have a town with as easy a name to rhyme as Grand Marais, too.
Grand Marais is a nice name to rhyme, yeah. You know, and if this town doesn't like it, I think there's one in Michigan I can work with a little bit.
So there.
No, we love it already.
Good, okay.
Dude, it's terrific. So you mentioned, I had mentioned your paddling CD, but then you said you have a new CD out, too.
Tell us
about that.
I recorded it last February. You know, every musician is always excited about their new recording project, and it's always the best one ever and all that. And I'll go on a limb and say that I feel that way as well. I'm very proud. There's a lot of songs on there that I solo wrote that really speak a lot to me. And so I've been kind of promoting that CD and the paddling CD together. And when I left here last year, a year ago, I actually played one of the songs that I went ahead and recorded that's now on the CD. It came out wonderfully. And when I left here, I thought, boy, it sure would be fun to have a band and tour in this area with both of those types of music in mind. Mm-hmm. And so through some friends of mine helping out down in the Twin Cities, I actually was able to put a band together of Minnesota musicians, and we've been playing up here all summer, and I've just been having a blast. And we've been playing songs off of that CD as well as the Paddling CD, and a few songs that I've been lucky. I've had a few songs recorded by Tim McGraw and the Oak Ridge Boys and some songs like that. So we mix all that together, and it's been really fun.
Yeah. Is that the one match band?
The one match band it is. Yeah, because that's all it takes for me to light a fire.
I knew that's what that was from. That's terrific. Yeah. So you've been playing around Minnesota, Wisconsin?
We did play in Grantsburg, Wisconsin a couple of weeks ago and played a festival down in, where was it, in Zumbro Falls. And then, of course, here. And then I played some solo things in Ely. And I'm mentioning I'm going to be playing Tuscarora. I was real fortunate. I got to go on public television in Minneapolis a couple of weeks ago as well. And I know there's another festival in there we played. Oh, Two Harbors. We played the Heritage Days in Two Harbors.
Okay.
So, yeah, I've been having a lot of fun playing all the songs.
It sounds
great.
That way. Well, Dick and I were saying before you came on that we were kind of sorry we missed the second annual Sawbill Songwriters Campfire Jam
up
the Sawbill Trail. Tell us about that.
Well, we did this last year kind of on a whim, and I said to Bill, he's been so supportive. It's just been great. And I said, let's put a songwriters jam together at the campfire, because I paddle out of Sawbill every year. I love that area. And so he called together last year several songwriters, and then they came up again this year, and it was Bump Blomberg played, and Eric Frost, and Joe Pollock, and me, and we sat around a campfire, and we started just about when the mosquitoes came out, and we did it was the same way last year. We played until almost 12:30, and I think we would have played further, but there was some thunder coming on, and it was just a blast. We sit around a campfire, and it's all original songs, and everybody I play a song, then somebody else plays a song, and we all kind of jam along, and it's just it's too much fun.
That sounds
it's
great.
So creative. Yeah. And what's really fun is that the people at the campgrounds kind of stumble in and hear this, and they hear all this wonderful music from all these local musicians that they didn't know about, and it's just really, really fun.
That's great.
Yeah.
You write any new songs around the campfire that night?
I didn't write any around that night, but I did get some ideas.
Did you?
It kind of came from another friend of mine was talking about walking the trails at Magny State Park, and it occurred to me he was kind of thinking also about Portage Trail. So I've got this one idea called Uphill Both Ways that I'm thinking about working on. So we'll see what happens with that. Maybe I'll have it here for you next year.
That sounds like a good catchphrase.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, would you be willing to play a song from your most recent CD?
I would be happy to. Yeah, let's see. I've got one. In fact, you know what? This will be kind of fun since I'm already capoed here. I did, on that CD, I did only one paddling song. I went ahead and put one on there. And if you'll humor me, I'll do this one. This is a song, a friend of mine in Nebraska, was about a year ago, was telling me a story about he and his black lab, Molly. And they were just kindred spirits. And they paddled all over the boundary waters in Canada together. And it was quite an inspiring story about their adventures. And Molly, of course, has gone on. But Paul just still talks about those adventures. And I was so intrigued by the story, I decided to write a song about it. And it's called Me and Molly. And I put it on that CD. But what was really fun, and that Bill at Sawbill actually was very helpful in this, I put out the word through Bill and through some paddling bulletin boards saying, send me a picture of you and your canoe dog or your kayak dog.
Aww.
I got like 300 photographs.
I bet.
After I recorded the song, I actually put this song on with a slideshow of all those pictures of their canoe dogs, and it's up on YouTube.
It is. So what do you search?
All you have
to
do is put me and Molly, Jerry Vandiver, and you'll see all those pictures. And I can see Dick's pulling it up right now, for that matter. So, in fact, we're going to talk about Tuscarora in a moment. I'm actually going to play this song tomorrow at Tuscarora, and I have the slideshow, and I'm going to play it to the slideshow.
Nice.
Yeah. And of course, the listeners won't be able to see it from here, but this is the song. It's called Me and Molly.
All right, Jerry Vandiver.
I took the stern, she took the bow. I settled in, she settled down, and put her nose on the thwart to get the best view. It's me and Molly in our canoe. We'd talk about the ways of the world, all those we love, and how she's a good girl. And then she'd show a big smile that says, I agree with you. It's me and Molly in our canoe. My best friend, my companion, always by my side, wherever we landed, and no journey was so hard we couldn't make it through. It's me and Molly in our canoe. And no journey was so hard we couldn't make it through. It's me and Molly in our canoe. They say there's a bridge where she's waiting for me, and I hope there's a clear stream below. 'Cause when I meet her there, it will be so sweet when we jump in that boat and go with the flow. When I go with my best friend, my companion, always by my side, wherever we landed, and no journey was so hard we couldn't make it through. It's me and Molly. It's me and Molly. It's me and Molly in our canoe. For all you dog lovers out there.
Love that one. I have a canoe dog named Lily.
Ah, we could say me and Lily.
Yeah, that's going to fit.
Yeah, good.
That was beautiful, but it's kind of inconvenient when the musician makes me cry.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's the ultimate compliment. Thank you very much.
That is lovely.
You know, it's funny. I actually wound up adopting a dog because of that song.
Did you?
Yes. Yeah. We have two rescue dogs already, my wife and I. And as a result of that song, I got connected with an organization in Nashville called the Senior Dogs Sanctuary, Old Friends Senior Dog Sanctuary. And I've been doing some fundraisers. In fact, this is the hat form right here.
Oh,
yeah, that's
nice.
Lucy. Yeah, they're kind of, oh. Yeah, they're signature dog there. Anyway, and so I was, I'd given them the song, and we became friends and stuff as a result of all that. And the next thing I know, there's a senior dog that's 14 years old that was being surrendered by her owner because it couldn't take care of it. And so we now have a third dog. We adopted a 14-year-old dog in our house.
Wow.
She's a sweetheart, too.
I bet. Yeah. What kind?
She's kind of a border collie shepherd mix.
Oh, I bet that's a
she's
nice
great.
Dog.
Yeah, she is. She's real
smart.
Sweet. Yeah, she loves to play at 14. She's the most playful person in our whole house. And I said person, by the way, because they are family.
They are.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, that is lovely. So
yeah.
That's one of the songs you're going to play tomorrow night up at Tuscarora.
I am.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Well, this is something that this is the fourth annual. obviously 4 years ago, a friend of mine introduced me to Tuscarora. We were going to canoeing out of Missing Link entry point there, and he said, "Why don't you bring up your guitar and play up there, you know?" And I said, "Sure, you know, I'm easy." And so they set aside a little corner of their lodge, the dining hall lodge there, and we just had a blast. There's no microphones. It's just a real intimate setting, and we just had a blast. And I said, "Let's do this again." And so every year I go up. Sue and Andy Aaron are just the sweetest people in the world, and they run a really great operation up there. And so I have a blast going up there, meeting with them and catching up with them and playing songs for their folks. There's going to be it's free and open to the public. Anybody that wants
to
go up there.
So you don't have to be staying there.
No, not at all. No, come on up and join us. Oh, and nice. It's a great time. Yeah.
And it's 47 miles up the Gunflint Trail. I checked.
It is a bit of a drive, but you know.
But
the blueberries. The blueberries.
Do the blueberries.
The blueberries.
Make a day of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Pick blueberries
and then come
music.
And hear some music.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I like that.
Uh huh. That sounds nice. So have you been out canoeing since you've been here?
Not since I've been in Grand Marais. I canoed out of Sawbill a couple of weeks ago, and I did mention I kayaked out on the lakes. But tomorrow night, so Sunday, get all my days in order. Yeah, so I'm going to put in on Sunday on Clearwater.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I'm going to go in for a couple of days and check out the Perseid meteor showers.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's coming up.
I'm so looking forward
to that.
That'll
be a good time.
I think we're going to have clear skies the way it looks, too.
Oh, I hope so.
Me, too.
Those are really stunning.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. 50 to 100 an hour this year, they say.
That could inspire a song.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It probably will.
If one was so inclined.
I'm inclined.
I know you are. You know, I mean, you're here playing and singing for us, but you identify primarily as a songwriter first.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I mean, I've always loved to perform, and I've been doing that since I was 14 years old and first picked up a guitar, which is, of course, only about 10 years ago. But,
right.
But yeah. But I moved to Nashville in 1984 with the idea, I wonder if I can make it in the big leagues. And worked very, very, very hard networking and writing more and trying to write better and getting to know how it all works in the business. And after about 4.5 years there, I did get my first song recorded on Warner Brothers Records by a wonderful artist named Gene Watson. And I got really lucky in that it was also my first hit because it went top five.
Wow.
Yeah. So then I thought it was going to be easy. And it was only another 9 years before I had another top 10 single, but that was by Tim McGraw. So I got lucky with Tim McGraw a couple of times and the Oak Ridge Boys and a few other bands like Lone Star and stuff like that. So that's what I love to do is you know, I love playing my songs, but without fail. But I really enjoy hearing
somebody
take one of my songs and make it theirs. It's really a thrill.
Yeah. I have a songwriter question. You write apparently the music and the lyrics.
Yes, a lot of that myself.
It's it's often that you hear of somebody who there's a collaboration between a musician and a lyricist or something, and creating one creates the words and the other puts it to music.
I do that as well.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah. I kind of most of it though. There's not. A whole lot of delineation between just the lyricist and the composer, the musical composer, like there used to be, for instance, in the Gershwin days, George did the melody, Ira did the lyrics. These days, it's mostly, it's really a give and take of both things. Mm-hmm. You know, if you and I were collaborating on a song and you came up with a really cool line and I said, oh, that's neat. What if we did it with this melody here? Mm-hmm. And you said, well, what if you go to the A minor there instead of the F. And so, okay, cool. So there's kind of that's really the way the way I like to do it. And that's a pretty common occurrence in the songwriting community in Nashville.
So how do you mentioned that Gene Watson, that, you know, you hit the top five or whatever, and then Oak Ridge Boys. What's the process of going about pitching a song? Do you pitch it to a particular musician or band, or is it to a company, or how does it work?
Any way you can.
Okay.
In the case of the Gene Watson cut, I had a publisher that was representing my songs. A publisher is a lot like an agent in that they get a big chunk of the commission, and they have the connections with record companies and producers that the songwriter generally does not have. So getting a publisher represent your songs is a good thing. And one day, Gene Watson was looking for songs, and he was out on Music Row, making appointments with the A&R person from Warner Brothers Records, and they together went to various publishers' office and said, here's what we want to do. Tell me what you got. Show me what you got. And my publisher played him like 10 songs, and my song was the last one. I remember him telling me, and that was it. That's the one I want to do. And so that's kind of how it got cut in that direction. So that getting it played for the artist is a lucky way to go.
Sure.
I've been lucky to have two Tim McGraw cuts. My second Tim McGraw cut was interesting in that it was actually played for Jody Messina, and as it turns out, Tim was co-producing Jody, and so when he heard the song, as it was, and my co-writer's publisher pitched that song to Jody Messina, and when Tim heard the song as a producer, he said, I think I want to cut that one. So fortunately for me, he did, and it was a big hit single as well. And but give it to the bus driver, for crying out loud, you know, or the gardener of the bus
just
driver.
Just get it out there.
Yeah. Any route you can, you go. And one of the things I'm very excited about, in fact, was I have a brand new song that's the song is actually 10 years old, and it just got recorded by an artist on Rural Rhythm Records, a bluegrass artist called New Blue. We talked about it a little earlier, and I'm really excited about it because the song, like I said, is 10 years old, and a publisher was representing the song in the catalog, and he pitched it to them 2 years ago, and we never heard a word. And then all of a sudden, last fall, when they were going in the studio cutting, they called us and said, we're going to record this song.
Wow.
And I'm really excited because they sent it out to all the Americana and Bluegrass radio stations, and all those stations said, this is our favorite off the record. So maybe we might be on the radio again.
That's exciting. Well, our colleague Kara Thomas found that for us, and we're going to play it after
Excellent.
We're done talking to you, because it'll
be
fun to hear it. New Blue is the name.
New Blue. Yeah, they're on Rural Rhythm Records, and they're a great group. The lead singer plays upright bass when she sings. It's very visual.
Oh.
And they're a hot band. I like them a lot.
And where are they from?
They're from North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a home of bluegrass music. Fine. Well, kind of. Kentucky really is. But
all right.
North Carolina spews out a lot of good bluegrass.
So how does it work when you're promoting a song, or you're hoping that a song gets picked up? How do you protect your rights there?
I don't worry about it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the easy question. Interestingly enough, the copyright law is actually very specific in that the date that the song is created, the song is actually copyrighted.
Copyrighted.
Yeah, and these days, especially these days, because everything is done digitally, when I write a song, I'll play. When I played Me and Molly, when I first wrote it, I played it in my computer, my GarageBand, and then put that into iTunes, and there's already a digital stamp on it. So it already has that, you know, so it's that automatic copyright. Now, I will say this. When a song is recorded commercially, like by New Blue, then we'll go ahead and register it with the Copyright Office. But if you're a songwriter out there listening to it, you really don't need to worry about that until it's commercially released.
And
but the digital stamp is all the protection you need.
And
I've
YouTube,
never had any problem with that.
And the YouTube performances, that's not an issue in any way of losing rights in any way?
No. Although I've heard some people talk about it, but I think they're just not doing it correctly. But no, when you put it up on YouTube, you put a copyright notice on it, and you're home free.
Jerry, you might not know, but Dick is a lawyer.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay. Good.
Well, I haven't read.
So have I said anything wrong yet?
No.
Okay.
You're doing great.
Date of creation is the term, actually.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Copyright is one law that's been changed multiple times since I went to law school.
I bet. Yeah.
It's really evolved, especially with the digital world.
Yeah. It's still not keeping up with it, quite honestly. No. Yeah. We do have problems, of course, with the downloading issue.
Yeah.
You know, that's not, which is part of the copyright issue, actually, but it's not a problem of when you write the song having to do anything different. You know, stealing no matter what. So don't get me on my soap there.
But I mean, anybody can go and listen to Me and Molly on
sure
YouTube,
and I welcome them too. I hope they do, and they'll like it so much they'll want to buy my CD.
That's the reason they have that there.
Yeah, one right. of them. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I like to share it as well.
Yes.
I found it on YouTube, just as he suggested. I didn't dare click on it because, of course, it would have become
radar. It would start playing. Exactly. Well, can we hear another one?
Sure. Let's do... let's see. What do I want to do here? Let's do this one. This is also on my new CD. This is a song... I actually wrote this quite a while, and I never had a chance to record it, and it's always been a favorite of mine. And this was a three-way write. I actually wrote this with a couple of friends in Nashville, Philip Pence and Angela Hurt, if they're listening. Give them credit for it, what credit is due. And I actually was inspired. you always look for interesting inspirations. I was inspired by this song from watering my tomato plants. I know that sounds silly, but it was a severe drought in Nashville a couple of years ago, and I was watering my tomato plants. I said, you know, son, this is really nice, but we could use a little bit of rain now and then. And that turned into a lyrical idea that I put in my computer, and I got together with my friends, and I said, I've got this idea, and this is what came out of it. When the sun shines down on your smile and puts a color in your cheeks, should you get too warm, I hope the rain will cool your face at least once a week. And when the world tells you to just get real, only fools dare to dream, I hope you color your dreams outside the lines and be that fool at least once a week. And one night out of seven, may you look up at the heavens and find yourself a faint and distant star. And know that you and that pale beacon were both put here for a reason, and you'll see just how wonderful you are. One night out of seven, may you look up at the heavens and find yourself a faint and distant star. And know that you and that pale beacon were both put here for a reason, and you'll see just how wonderful you are. I hope you fall in love with your best friend, and before you go to sleep, I hope you hear the words, I love you so much more than once a week. So much more.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Thank you, Jerry Vandiver
here on WTIP.
Thank you. That was lovely.
Do you feel any responsibility for all the rain that fell on
You know, that's a good point. Actually, you know what? I'll take that responsibility. And I will take that responsibility as I watch all those waterfalls at Cascade Park.
And they're
Isn't it beautiful, gorgeous, right? Oh,
Jerry?
My goodness.
Yeah.
For August, it's really good.
Yeah,
so, yeah, I'll go ahead and take credit for it. How's that? That was good.
Oh, very funny. So you're up here for a little while longer. You're performing at Tuscarora tomorrow.
Yep. And then
you're going to go paddling.
Yes, I am. I could not do that.
Good.
Yeah. I think you're going to have some nice weather.
Yes, you are.
Looks really good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then what? What's on your agenda?
Back to Nashville. I've been gone almost 8 weeks, so I'm looking forward to going home.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a couple of things coming up. I'm playing a songwriter's evening at a wonderful bed and breakfast inn in North Carolina called the Balsam Mountain Inn. I do that every September. It's a wonderful.
That sounds beautiful.
It is. It's a gorgeous.
Where is it?
It's in Balsam, North Carolina,
right.
Just outside of Waynesville, just outside of Asheville. So yeah, it's nestled in the Blue Ridge Mountains. It's been playing that for years. And then in October, I'm going to go play the Pensacola Songwriters Festival. And in November, I think I might be back up at the Twin Cities. We have working on an engagement there. And then I'm doing my annual After Thanksgiving songwriter show at the Bluebird Cafe.
In Nashville.
Yeah, I'm fortunate to get to play that frequently. So there's a lot going on. And then I've got some more songs to write.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's a great life.
Wow, it sounds that way.
Yeah,
and you also do songwriter workshops.
I do occasionally, yes. Yeah. In fact, I've been talking to some people in Indianapolis. We're getting ready to put one together this fall. Don't have a date yet on
and
that.
You've done some writing on how to write a song,
yes,
haven't you?
Yep. We wrote, my wife and I, Gracie, we wrote a book called Your First Cut, A Step-by-Step Guide to Getting There. It's a workbook more than a book itself, and mm-hmm. it's kind of a goal setting. It's kind of a, it's a really great roadmap. If you're a songwriter and you have a desire to get your songs heard on a mm-hmm. bigger level in the major music centers, this is a great roadmap to follow.
And you know what I'm impressed by around here is how many of our local musicians have evolved into songwriters.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I've been listening to every night. I've been going and hearing all the locals every night. I've been somewhere listening to the musicians. It's been really, really fun.
Isn't it amazing how much we have for the size of this community really great
Yes,
folks.
It's stunning. Yeah, it's very, very impressive.
Nashville North. Maybe.
I can go with that.
I like it.
Yeah.
We feel so fortunate to have so many of those folks here on this program
yes.
and get to be in the studio. There's something about being in the studio when somebody's playing that's just really great. I'm glad you've been able to avail yourself of that.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be here.
Fun.
I plan my trips around coming up on Roadhouse now.
Well, you know you're welcome any Friday of the year, so don't worry too much about the scheduling.
You could call in, too. You know,
okay.
Not we'll quite keep that in the mind. Same.
Yeah, no, this is much more fun than calling
yeah.
in.
It's nice to have you perform. I was thinking what we'll do is we'll play the Trains I Didn't Take song
great.
Instead of our outro.
Okay.
Instead of our closing music.
Oh, wonderful. I like that idea.
Yes.
That's great.
And so we have time then for you to play one more if you would.
Oh, okay. All right. Great. Let me, can I tune here just
Absolutely.
A second?
I'll read some cards while you do that.
This is the title cut of my last CD, and the newest one, The Skull. I wrote this one for you. When I sit down with a pencil and paper, and my old guitar resting on my lap, I pour out what I'm feeling at the moment. A new love, a heartbreak, I'll write about that. And my fingers find a melody, and a few words find the page, and maybe some good fortune we'll take them to the stage. I write for my heart, for my soul. It's what I have to do. But I wrote this one for you. You dream with me when dreams are hard to come by. You believe in me when some of those dreams don't come true, but I'm here, 'cause you're here, and that's proof enough that some dreams do. So I wrote this one for you. Without you, it's just some words and music, tones and half times that simply don't belong. But you're the light that brings it all together. It's your heart and your love that make it a song. And when the final note's been sung and the last chord has been played, and I put away this guitar and it's closed up in its case, if it touched your heart, moved your soul, it's what I hope that it would do. 'Cause I wrote this one for you. You dream with me when dreams are hard to come by. You believe in me when some of those dreams don't come true. But I'm here 'cause you're here, and that's proof enough that some dreams do. So I wrote this one for you. No, it doesn't do you justice, but it's the best that I can do. I wrote this one for you.
Oh, that was lovely.
Thank you.
Jerry Vandeveer here on the Roadhouse. That was a perfect one to end with.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so, so much for joining us tonight.
It's my pleasure.
It was really delightful.
Oh, let's do it again.
Come back soon.
Okay.